Very good afternoon to all, brothers and sisters. Now it's 3 o'clock. We shall have our Q&A, question and answer session, followed by review of meditation reporting to deepen one's proper understanding of the cultivation. The Dhamma understanding and the meditation is taught by the Buddha. You all can ask any question regarding the meditation, the Dhamma, and how to apply this Dhamma, real life application of Dhamma. Okay. Anybody wants to report meditation or ask any question?
Can hear. I will discuss about my meditation in general for discussion, and also some of the hindrances that can be overcome. So every time, every year, I think it has been since 2015.
Yes.
So every retreat, I treat it like the spiritual checkup. You know what your progress. What you need to overcome. What kind of
That is a good
problems that you have. You know.
Spiritual checkup. There's a new term. Instead of normal medical checkup. Medical checkup through the blood test, through the medical checkup. You know, then you take action.
So spiritual at least in your daily life, you know.
Very good. Very good.
That you can, based on your understanding, you can overcome.
Yeah, very good.
So year by year, I suppose I have made some progress. I'm happy with it.
Very good.
So nowadays the meditation, I'm not too diligent, I know.
No problem.
I find that when I sit there, I don't go through the steps. And then relax, and then
you settle down.
You settle down very fast.
Very good. That is a sign of very good progress.
That the breath and all those are very subtle.
Yeah, very good, very good. Subtle.
I also find that the senses are sharper.
Sharper and more sensitive.
More sensitive.
And you are more like you are more moment of awareness. Awareness.
So you see in the morning you hear the sounds in the you see in the
very
afternoon,
good.
You hear sounds in the afternoon. Time is different. But that's normal. But I find that one of the things that I missed out was awareness of your posture when you are doing sitting. So when you sit, I find that in the past I not really aware.
Correct.
When you go fishing or something,
you
don't even know. So now I see I can feel the backbone straight.
Sadhu. That is very good.
It's not out of force. It's in a relaxed state.
Yes.
So when you go fishing, that is actually a tactile sensation.
Correct.
So the awareness will pick it up and then you get out of it.
Yeah, you can get out of it, soft and tougher.
So
no
you,
problem.
You maintain your awareness.
Just stay with it. Like today, a few of them managed to do it. Yesterday was manual.
And the other thing is sensitive also. In the sense that you can be aware of the subtle thoughts. There are two things that might happen. Your consciousness might shift. The other one that is more problematic is your consciousness drift. When it drifts, you feel very dull. You feel very dull and your awareness is really like obscure.
So
you will sleep. You will sleep. That's when the snoring and The vibration and sound that comes in will be picked up by your awareness.
Yes.
So you get up again.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So the beginning stage of development is such that you go through several rounds.
Correct.
You will get less and less and less.
Yes.
But it doesn't go away totally.
Later on, it can go away.
Yeah, sometimes your body is just tired.
Yes. Because for your case, you are tired. You are tired. Yeah.
So,
but improve a lot already. Yeah. Because it's not like last time. Wow, the orchestra non-stop.
Every year.
Now, after a while, when he not tired, you can realize after one, he stopped. Then after that, a while later, it come again, then it stopped. Yeah. That is very good.
Well, every year I was snoring, Jinao, my snoring.
Yeah, orchestra. But okay. this retreat improved a lot. Because what is amazing is, after 2 over years didn't come, and suddenly I realized that he has become different. That's why I say, very good. Inside my heart, I rejoice. Because last time, he go back to the room. The moment he decided to rest, sleep, wow, it started again. Not so very long. But this time, different. It takes a while before he go into the sleep. Then after that, they start, of course, it continued for a while. But then, in between, because I was most of the time away, then I can see, he stopped. He stopped. Yeah. Then, after a while, not long, it come again. Then, this awareness that pick up, he stop again, which is good sign. Sadhu to you.
And all the sharing all these years, he has helped a lot.
Yeah, have a lot, yeah.
Every year, two cents, he can buy out.
Correct.
And the understanding will get finally.
Oh, Sadhu, very good.
Understand a lot better.
Yeah.
I used to struggle with some of the words that you use.
Oh,
you know, Vedana.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Very in English, the word feeling is very
misleading. Yeah, misleading. It can be sensation. It can become emotion, all those things.
Then you use the word pure feeling.
Pure feeling means not stir yet.
Kind of pure consciousness.
Yes. Initially, it's true. Initially, you cannot understand. Not until he goes in. Then now he starts to understand.
Then you see all these things.
Yeah.
For instance, pain.
Yeah.
Right? When I first started meditation, well, you talk about Vedana, Nupasana.
Correct.
Now you sit down with a sensation.
Yeah.
Be aware with all the sensations.
Yeah, correct.
You don't stay with it.
Just flow with it. Aware, finish. That is like aware. Keep on aware. Then the mind will settle down. The mind will settle down.
And then if you stay with a more dominant so-called sensation, your breath or whatever, the minor ones like the pain.
Sadhu, you know why gone or not? Yeah, your sati take over.
Yes.
Then you don't label it as hindrance anymore.
The moment
then
you say it's pain,
gone. It's a hindrance already.
It's already a sankara.
Sankara and aversion. You want to do something, then the thought active. That's why you cannot settle down.
Yeah.
Very good.
Sadhu. All these things you can see clearly.
Yeah.
Through the whole
thing. Sadhu. That is what cultivation is all about. Understand? Not something fantastic. Well, Brother Teo is a very rational person. That's why he said like health check. Then he keep on improving. Then he know how to solve problem. No. Application of Dhamma to resolve issue, problem. Understand? No point getting angry, emotional, and all. No point. So when you understand the cultivation, then you know how to use it to live life. That is what Dhamma cultivation is all about. That is what progress is all about. Instead of knowing and understanding as knowledge, then you can talk about it, but you cannot apply it. Understand? Then you cannot see it in the meditation. Then all those things become knowledge and concept. What he saw is all the words that he is not familiar with, the Pali word. Then when he sees it in the meditation, because he patiently relaxed and maintain awareness, then all these things start to happen. This is the real cultivation. That's why if he can do it, everybody can do it. Understand? Be patient, relax, maintain awareness. Then it will come. Sooner or later it will come. Very good, relative. Study of
what else? I think that's all for now.
good. Sadhu. Let's rejoin. This should be one of the good ways to develop the awareness within. Then when you start to have the awareness, all these things, my teaching will fall into place. Then he will start to understand. That's why initially, forget about the word. Find out with your awareness. Find out what Vedana is, what Sanya. That's why I told you later on, once you understand, you witness it, then the mind awakens to it. Then that time the word, not important. Like Sangara, I understand it inside out. Yeah, I know these are the movement of mind, everything. That's why I dare to use the word, everything your mind can do is Sangara. But a lot of people follow the text, that standard few words. Yeah. Then Sanya, why they call cognition, why they call perception? It's because that is the one which is related to the memory, understand? That is the one that make you the knowing. To know what that thing is, you have to perceive it. Or you have to cognize it. That's why Mahayana used the word cognition. Theravada used the word perception. If you understand, words are not important. That's why Huineng in the what they call Six Area Platform Sutta, they share this part. You remember there was one lady, I think nun or one. Then one of the close friend of Huineng, I think Huineng helped her before, rescue her from no one. Then she had a lot of gratitude. Then he knew Huineng, he was a monk. So he wants to be a monk and he's dumb over again. But he was not educated, illiterate. Then I think that nun, he was not impressed with Huineng when the niece or the very close relative introduced Huineng to him. Because she was actually reading the Parinibbana Sutta. So that sutta is a Mahayana Sutta. Nipan Jing. So there were a lot of things that she not clear. Then he asked him, then Huineng said, can you read to me what this Nipan Jing is all about? You read to me, I can explain to you. Then he said, I give you the book, you read lah. Huineng said, I don't have any education. I don't understand the word. I don't know how to read, but you have to read for me. Then she started to have this mundane thinking of the thought straight. How can you study the Dhamma when you don't even know the words? But after a while, somehow, Huineng managed to like say something that impressed her. He said, to study the Dhamma, the truth, you actually don't need words. Why do you need words? What's our words? Word is not that thing. Word is like a pointer to let you understand what that thing is. That's a human being, living being, use word. That's how. To describe it. But the actual thing is not the word. Then he gives some examples which are very good. That's why it's not the word. When you understand, the word becomes clear. It's just a language used to express, used to explain for others to understand. But if you have not gone through it, the word alone is very confusing. I remember during the early days, the first time I heard this word, this what they call some of these Thai monks who are very good. They use this word, sensitive. They say, when you develop the meditation, you become more sensitive. I was thinking, I was English educated, the only meaning of sensitive I know is that person is very sensitive. And that's how it's just about what the monk is trying to say. The sensitivity is the heightened mind. Yes, it's most of the time they are more calm, more peaceful, more clarity, and most of them are energy field. So they feel that they have more clarity. They are more calm and they become more sensitive. So the first time I heard that word, I said, my God, meditate and you become more sensitive. I don't want to meditate. What should I meditate when I become more sensitive? If to me, a person is very sensitive, here, small things also complain or no, also don't like. Sensitive person. That's why the word is very dangerous. If you don't understand the context of how it's being used, then it becomes confusing. That's why later on, when my awareness nature developed, and also, then I realized the senses become heightened. No? Then I cannot find an English word. No? Then I realized, hey, this word, you become more sensitive. No? You can sense deeper. No? You can have better ability to sense what is going on and understand what is going on and develop all this ability. Then only, that's why nowadays I also use this word. You tend to become more sensitive. And this word relative can relate where your senses is like heightened. Then you are more aware. That's why you have the ability. Okay? So let us rejoice. Okay, anybody else? You can report your meditation or you can do like relative, share. Or you can just ask any question related to the Dhamma. Who? Alicia, yeah, Sadhu.
Good afternoon, Matthew. 其实我有这个experience有几次，可是就没有这么明显。今天它就比较明显，而且比较久了一点，就是你感觉到。那边好像一直在 expand，一直在 expand，expand，expand，until没有boundary这样子。Very good，啊，就是这样子。哦，好，萨德，阿弥陀佛。嗯，阿弥陀佛。嗯，OK，that mic is not enough battery on。Speak，is it？Okay，I got battery here。Okay，I give you a battery。
Yeah, it's not enough battery. We have many days we will be using it. Yeah. Okay, any more? No more. Then you continue with your sharing. Yeah? Maya. Oh, the normal one. Then the 9-word one not suitable. So you got brought, I mean. Yeah. Yeah. You let them change the battery first. Manya, you can read. Page 150, part 2.
Part 2, Heart Sutra, Lesson 29, page 77, 2.1. Sanya, perception, brings the external form into the mind while mental perception and is also called the sixth consciousness. This external form then becomes the mental form or sends data for mind to arise mental consciousness because mind is also an organ. Seven consciousness, Sankhara, is likened to the mental organ, and upon contact within mind via mental activities of Sankhara, triggers off the eight consciousness, Alaya, or storehouse consciousness.
Inaya. Okay, very good. So can you all understand this now? Yeah. Can you all understand what is this Mahayana explanation of six consciousness, seven consciousness, eight consciousness. Yeah? Can you understand? You cannot understand, tell me you cannot understand. Man. Ah, very good. Colon, very good. Sadhu. Huh? So I will explain this. Well, this is not easy. Huh? I have shared it in one of the talks. Huh? And that talk, a lot of people go and view. Huh? I think it's, if I'm not wrong, it's almost 3,000 overview. Huh? You see, as a human being, we have a physical body with all the senses in it. The main five senses, what are they? Our eye, our ear, our nose, our tongue, and our bodily tactile. So these are the first five type of consciousness. With the eye, you can see, that is seeing consciousness. With the ear, you can hear, that is seeing consciousness. Yeah, you can hear. Oh, sorry, hearing consciousness. Yeah. No smell is smell consciousness. The tongue taste is taste consciousness. Then bodily tactile is tactile consciousness. Okay? So these five are the main first five type of consciousness that the Mahayana call. Then what is the sixth consciousness? They call it Di Liu Se. Si, not si, 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 di liu si, yeah. Yen si, er si, yeah. Di liu si. So, sixth consciousness is where the mind is. All these consciousness, you need mind, the common denominator. Understand? Not? So, when mind is there, you perceive. All the perception that you do become the sixth consciousness. Where there is another door. The brain. The brain that arises top consciousness. So first five senses, you have the five types of consciousness. Okay? So these five are very straightforward, like what I said just now. Seeing, hearing, tasting, or taste consciousness, then smell. Then there is another one, is tactile. So these are the first five. Then the sixth one is actually perception or sanya. Because you have a mind. So this one is the mind, mind perception. So when the mind perceives, there is a consciousness in the sanya. That's why we have the brain. Upon contact, like the other senses, it also arises thought consciousness. So this perception, sanya, is within the thought consciousness. That's why it's called the sixth consciousness. So what is thought? When you see, you can also create thought. Understand? Where well, you can perceive whatever you see, color, shape, and form within that consciousness. When you hear, the hearing consciousness, you can also perceive the sense data, like vibration, sound, yeah, or whatever, that music, yeah, noise, or whatever, that the hearing consciousness can pick up. So that one is all mental, 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 understand now? That's why it's called the sixth consciousness. Then what is the seventh consciousness? This one should be first five type of consciousness. Okay, I change this a bit to make it clear. First five consciousness. Okay. They are because of their five senses. From the five basic senses. Then after that, what is the seventh consciousness? What is it? Yeah? Sankara, yes. But why is it sankara? Yes, yes, yes. Tui, tui. Sankara is where they call it the discriminative consciousness. Because what is sankara? Like Sui earlier mentioned. When you go and think, you create duality and all those things. So this is what discrimination is all about. You discriminate. Whenever you perceive sankara based on sanya, sanya perceive, you create sankara. Understand? So this discriminating consciousness, they call it the seven consciousness. But they also call this the organ. I have to put inverted comma, huh? Organ. You know why they call it the organ? Because this sanya, which is the sixth consciousness, this one is the sense data. This one is the sense data plus organ plus sense data trigger of one. When you perceive something, the external form enters the mind. Understand? Then of course this guy, Sankara, discriminate, understand, create all the content of consciousness. But this fellow is a mind, understand? That's why the seven consciousness make contact with the brain, understand? You understand? The brain. Because you go up there and think, understand? Through memory, you want to perceive. After you perceive, which is sanya, perception, then you create thinking, discriminatory activity inside there. So when you think means you make contact with the brain, it trigger what? This one trigger of minyana, understand? Minyana. But when you input the content of consciousness, it become a thought. Actually, it's vijnana plus content of consciousness. So vijnana is the pure consciousness, the receptacle. So if this is the organ, upon contact, the sense basis, which is the brain, so this part, because there is a brain, which is the organ, upon contact, and this external form, which is a sense data, trigger off thought consciousness. So this thought consciousness is the eight consciousness. This one is the eight consciousness, or they call it the alaya consciousness. Alaya or storehouse consciousness. Can you understand? Can you see? Yeah. So the sixth consciousness is actually mind. Understand? So this one is mind. Oh, I have written here. Mind's perception. So this is basically mind's perception, six. Then you have your seven. Then you have your eight. Actually, you look at it. The Mahayana say they have eight types of consciousness. But is it any different from the Theravada, five aggregate? It's exactly the five aggregate, isn't it? Sanya, Sankara, and Vijnana become the six, seven, eight. But those who don't understand, they say what? Huh, you Theravada, you only one type of Vijnana, consciousness. They got eight over here. So because of that, if you look at this one, you will know. The first five, based on our senses, they will produce the first five types of respective sense-based consciousness. Like our eye, seeing consciousness, our ear, hearing consciousness, then nose, smell consciousness, taste consciousness. Then we have our body tactile. Then when you think, miss on. You make contact with the brain, isn't it? That's why you think there. So this brain creates thought consciousness. So this thought consciousness is actually from your thinking. But your thinking, that sense basis, also needs sense data, isn't it? Like your seeing, you need sense data. What is it? Color, shape, and form. Your hearing, your sense data is what? Vibration, noise, music, or whatever type of vibration that your ear can pick up. So all these have sense data. Smell also same, taste also same. Then tactile also got sense data about the environment, understand the temperature of the environment, the sensation. Yeah. So whatever that arises through the senses, they can trigger off consciousness. So the brain is another sense, okay, the organ. This brain receives sense data from where? External form, the perception. Right? That's why when you perceive, it's like you perceive the color, shape, and form, then you discriminate. Right? Now here, what does it perceive? The external perception. It can be color, shape, or form from that seeing consciousness, or it can be vibration, sound, or music from that hearing consciousness, or the taste consciousness, and other things. So this one, the respective sense data that come into the perception of these five, or the memory that you recollect or recall. So these six types of sense data create the six type of respective mind consciousness. Understand? That's why it becomes the six consciousness. So can follow. So this is what the teaching is. That's why I say Theravada understanding can explain Mahayana. No different. Understand? Then number seven is more difficult to understand. But luckily, Alicia and Sui understand. This is the one that creates discrimination. What is discrimination? That's why you got mental state, the mind stir, like and dislike, pleasant, unpleasant, understand not? Fear, worry, anxiety, yeah? Insecurity. These are the movement of Sankara, understand not? The mental states, based on the conditioning from your views, opinion, conditioning, belief system, and all this come from where? Memory, understand not? So this discriminative consciousness come about because of memory. And because of memory, it carries all your views, opinion, conditioning, belief system, and what else? Yeah. A lot more actually. Yeah.
Bias.
Your bias.
Trauma, phobia.
Your phobia, your whatever insecurity, yeah, habitual tendency. Yeah, accumulated experience, very good. Habitual tendency. Then basically, what is memory? Like what Padmasuri said, yeah? Your experiences, good and bad. Very, very true. So from this memory, this one is your experiences, good and bad, or pleasant and unpleasant. So what do we accumulate in our memory? Our experiences there, everything you go through in life, you accumulate there. Then you retain it there. So these are all the rubbish inside there. No? These are not truth, no? Not Dhamma. No? You accumulate views, opinion, conditioning, belief system, bias, phobia, insecurity, habitual tendency, and many other things. So when you see all these, then you realize acting according to memory is not acting at all, true or not? So I better write this down in red. Huh? So because of that, acting according to memory is not acting at all. So now you understand. Like the word, alaya consciousness is storm consciousness. Understand? Storm means what?
Storm?
Huh. Keep where? Keep where? Keep in your karmic nature. Understand? Huh? So this alaya consciousness is also called the storehouse consciousness. It's also in your karmic nature. Understand now? This is not a karmic nature. This is the consciousness that arises, gets stored in the karmic nature. Understand now? Ah, yeah. Use the mic.
Get out here. Okay. Okay, I thought of an example that might help. Let me know if I'm off
Yeah.
track. So I start with perception. So let's say my mom went to the market and bought an apple. And then come back, I see. I label perception apple because I saw red color with a stalk. And then I start to see big, oh, good, what brand? NV, good, eh? Got a hole. Ah. Bottom one, hey, mommy, not good, ah. Go and refund. Lah. That one, ah, that start to have, so these are duality, good and bad. And then after that, start to trigger the karmic volition. You know, there was a selfishness that, there's a discrimination that apple with a worm is not good. That is my perspective, my preference. And then because we paid money for this, I felt a part of me lost something. I cannot be at a losing end. We need to get our money back. That was all selfishness at play. What about the person that grew this apple? And then all that kind of thinking, all these will create karmic volition leading to that eight consciousness. All these, whatever karmic propension I create, that mental energy creates things that are stored in my karma. Little bit, everything we do, we say, we think, creates karmic velocity. That's how I see it.
Because this is what volition will do. Your mental intention means the karmic volition. You create karma. Now you start to understand why citta nupassana. The Buddha say, mindfulness of what? Citta, the thought, content of consciousness. So when you are mindful, you aware, understand not, what the content is. If it has an evil root, like when there is greed, aware. There is hatred, aware. There is fear, aware. When the citta is peaceful, aware. Aware is after you have learned the essential Dhamma, what constitutes evil, what constitutes wholesome, then you aware, you know how to deal with it, isn't it? When there is greed, means what? The five ways to overcome it. Okay? The first two thought one you've gone through, don't it? The third way is meditating, aware of that greed, that fear, the anger, the hatred, the emotion that arise. Then silence your mind. Then you realize it cease. Means what? All these are dependent originating, not intrinsic in you. See it, not theory. Theory, then you keep as knowledge, then you try to explain, no use. But when you see it, he used the word, it disappear, dissipate. Then the delusion, wrong view, that thought energy no more. That's why when you root out Sakkaya Ditti, Avijja, then that true mind return. Because all these defilements, good and bad, they are dependent originating, condition arising. Every moment of senses, sense experience. Then if you don't have that mindfulness of citta nupassana and don't understand the essential Dhamma, you cannot handle life. Because this eight consciousness is always coming. Understand? But when you understand, you know how to root it out. So through the third and fourth way, you straighten your view, you root it out. After you root it out, then you are always at peace. Then this one is no longer alaya consciousness. This one becomes pure consciousness. Understand?
Yeah.
Without the evil root. Then it becomes very wholesome. Even in the Abhidhamma, they mention it. Not only wholesome, no. These are the supramundane consciousness, no. That is incapable of evil, no. That's why in the Abhidhamma, there is one category of consciousness called supramundane consciousness. Who arises? Only the enlightened being arises. And they talk about the eight paths of enlightened being. Because the Buddha was teaching the sainthood way until the Arahant. That's why even the Bodhisattva or the Buddha, Sammasambuddha, he's also called himself Arahan. That's why we chant. Yeah? Salutation to the Buddha. Arahan, that is the Arahan. Understand? Arahan Sammasambuddho means the Sammasambuddha is an Arahan. So because of that, now you understand why the teaching is like that. So these are all related, connected. Hopefully by now it's clearer. So what my daughter gave is good. He wants you to have an understanding of what is going on in your brain. So he gave an example. Then you will come to understand it better because this is how you discriminate. Of course, apple is just an example. Yes, let's say if we have not eaten envy and all the good apple, understand? Then you don't know how to compare, understand? Then you don't know how to discriminate. Apple, apple, you look at the price only. Yeah, when we young, when we poor, we just buy. Got apple to eat already, very contented, very happy. But later on, when you got money already, the normal apple, 1 ringgit or maybe less. But the good apple, like they say, imported one, not only envy. Before envy, there are other range. 3 ringgit, 4 ringgit, 5 ringgit. Then envy come, 8 ringgit, 9 ringgit. Where you can afford, you also buy. Then you buy, you eat. Wow, so nice. Then you start to discriminate. Paham ingat bijak lah, envy. Nothing wrong with that, understand? It's because you can afford it, understand? You don't have craving for it, understand? When there is no more envy, my wife tell me, I say, I take you star grocer buy. That's not season. What can you do, understand? You got money, no use, understand? You can afford, but no condition to have it, understand? So when you discriminate means you got craving, understand? Like he said, selfish. I spend money, I pay so much, you buy that type of envy, utang one. Understand? And sometimes after you cut already, you're inside bad one. So all these type of movements are what we accumulated during when we are young. Understand? We were taught, educated in that way. Then song, bo song. It's always like that. Understand? Everything also want to be solved. So when you have that habitual tendency, when you have the Dhamma, then you understand the world is the world. Understand? The world discriminates. The world has duality. So learn to understand this. That's why the three levels of seeing, you remember? See mountain is mountain. Kan san si san. Then at the direct seeing, kan san pu si san, there are no word, no concept. But when you become normal, whoever come, they say, this is mountain. If he is just a putujana, deluded, not enlightened, mountain. Understand? Then the enlightened one come, no, it's not mountain. Yeah, not mountain. But people cannot understand. Then they go and complain. Hey, this brother, what people ask him mountain, he say mountain. Not mountain, he also say not mountain. Why? Because he has transcend duality. Understand? According to reality, if you are of that mentality, still not enlightened, then of course you perceive the mundane perception, which is mountain. Understand? That's why you can live in the world like the lotus. The pond, lotus pond, can be filled of filth, muddy, and all the fishes down there, still trying to survive, jumping up and down. But you above. You arise from the filth. But you have this lotus, means the enlightenment above the lotus pond. Means you can live within that filthy pond, understand? Which is samsara, the conditioned world. That's why you look at all this statue, you realize the lotus down there. They are sitting above the lotus. Understand? So that is the Mahayana terminology or analogy. Because lotus symbolizes what? Enlightenment, yeah, above the lotus pond, you transcend the existential world. But they have the karmically conditioned form and mind. That's why they come. That's why that lotus is from that pond, the filthy pond, within the existential world. So eight eye of consciousness is nothing special. Understand? Basically, it's sanya, sankara, vijnana, and the first five sense organs. Okay. So five, six, seven, eight, okay? It's actually five aggregate of form and mind. Everything you want to know is the five aggregate of form and mind. That's why I say when you have mindfulness, when you observe, you come to understand clearly who are you, what are you, and how you function as a human. Means how you create all this consciousness, how you input the content. Can follow? Yeah. So today one is actually one level deeper than what I normally share. Even in that video, I didn't go to this level. Understand? Huh? The one that 3,000 over. Yes, yeah,
I noticed this part. I can also use this to show pertaining to the topic we discussed about the evil root, the danger of not rooting it out, mm-hmm. how the mundane mind can be a cobra at this point, mm-hmm. because the negativity that we can cause here is can become severe mm-hmm. when we start to say, hey, where you buy this from? The shop, I come, I tell all my friends, don't go there and buy. The apple, they're not good. Or, you know, things like that. Yeah. And then we start to build up negativity, and then we, if I ever become a farmer next time and I grow apple next life, I will have this kind of things happen to me. Yeah. The other way, yeah. So this is how the mundane mind can become a cobra, very dangerous. Mm-hmm. You don't see how poisonous it is. Yeah. On the other hand, if I see, okay lah, I buy so many apple, only one spoil. I have gratitude. How many months it takes to grow one apple? I mean, it's already all fully grown, plucked, shipped to me already in my house. I got affinity to receive this. My karma lah, to have one bad apple in the ones I buy. I accept this. Have gratitude that maybe at least half you can eat. You know, see the good side of it. There's always two sides to the coin. I was only seeing all the bad ones. And if I have all this positive gratitude, I still say, oh, thank you, mommy. No, I can still continue and don't complain. All this wholesomeness will turn the whole situation around. Then if I had bad karma that was gonna flower also, it wouldn't flower and proliferate further. It doesn't turn the wheel that samsara doesn't continue. It stops here, payback, and then in the future, if I ever become a farmer, I have people that appreciate what I grow and sell. But this is one way I see it.
Okay, let's rejoice. Eh? Because what Sri did is she bring out this type of day-to-day example that can relate to your understanding, life. Eh? And this is just one of the simple examples. A more severe type of example is like, when you see somebody you don't like, you know, through memory or something, then what happened? What happened? You will condition you.
You see somebody you don't like, you avoid person, go elsewhere.
You avoid, you know, use because you still have the problem. You know, you haven't rooted it out. What I mean is, most people, when you see there is aversion, there is anger, there is hatred, then the memory recollect. Through Sanya and Sankara, they recollect what? This guy, shit guy. Last time, snake me, swindle me, did all this to me, and now he got the gut to visit me. Yes, so what you create? The negativity to one. Bias. Will you perceive him negative based on what? Memory. Based on the past. He may not be what he is anymore, no. Maybe he come and apologize to you, no. Give you give also, you know. But that perception creates that negativity of karma, you know. Every thought is a consciousness, alaya. And it's a store inside there. Then by the time you realize his true intention is different, you suddenly like, oh, lucky. Actually, he came to apologize. And then you have joy again. But that negativity you create is coming. You reap what you sow. Means what? In future, you go and visit other people, you also kena the same thing. He will perceive your negativity and stuff. Sometimes they don't even, because they didn't hear you explain, no. They don't even want to see you. No. The moment you reach the gate, you come for what? Understand? Take it all. Understand? So this is what karmic is. You reap what you sow. Everything you say and do come back to you. Understand? A Swiss example is very mild, apple only. The worst case scenario is instigate the mother to go and get back the money or change. Then that fellow sell you also go solve. Get angry. But my wife won't. Understand? Every time she say this, very good. You all should learn. Holang katok belkin, my katok lah. You know the meaning or not? Yeah, let people cheat you, then my to cheat people. They always like that. That's why she don't have to go through all those things. Then after she understand the Dhamma, she develop more and more this. I always say, she very good hearted fool last time. Because kind. Everything also think of others, But I say, if you don't have wisdom, people take advantage of you, make a fool out of you. That's how he learned. And she learned she has this good nature from the past because she is the one that do her duty well. That's why her life is good. Do her duty well, then she don't cut out. Take advantage. She cannot. She got a lot of creativity. Every time you offer or give it something, he will think of how to buy things for you and give one. Then to the brother, the sister, he also want to give one. I mean, that is her past, her nature. She is not the selfish type. So every human being is different. So from this, you understand. People are just the way they are. Why people think that way? Because of the conditioning, the belief system, your education. How you actually develop all those into views, opinion, conditioning, and habits. Then your phobia, psychological memory, your anger, your hatred. Why did you go and accumulate? Then when you accumulate, what happened? Like just now I asked you, is there a thinker behind the thought? I already explained it. There is no one. Why? That person will tell you, hey, I want to think of him, I think. Why you say I don't think? Why you say no thing? But when we are mindful aware, level two can see. Actually, even Sue, he also can see. It goes to the brain first, understand? And what is brain? Brain is memory. That memory he recollect. Oh, this guy, understand? Then, oh, I know him, Kok Lun, understand? Then, he start to think, Kok Lun, last time he very kind, he come buy cake, buy the good cake from the bakery. My wife also will know. So all this thought that we arise, it's not a thinker behind, understand? It's because of that memory that it condition you to recall for the memory what he did. There is no one inside there to create that thought. Do you understand? See that. With awareness, then you know how you function as a human being. That everything is dependent originating. No memory you think you can cognize him. You can create all the thought. The baby newborn, you ask him to think, he cannot think. Understand? So all these are very easy to understand. But if you don't have the understanding, the basic awareness behind, people talk to you like that, very logical one. You cannot counter, no. Yeah, I think I got thinker behind a thought. Like, I also think one. Understand? The thought is respond to memory. Without memory, how did it come out? That's why I say Krishnamurti is very big. I saw that. Then I know it's not a person. That's why they say there is a soul inside responsible for your seeing, your hearing as well. You're the Christian got the teaching. He said the soul is responsible. That one like God inside there. God give you that ability. No, you are a scientist, you will know. Everything is like a physics experiment, very natural. But you don't have mindfulness awareness, you cannot see. Understand? So this one clear now, huh? Yeah. Color? Good for you, huh? So your first time he entered and follow the fool. No, the fool, which last time come for 3 days. And he can absorb. He very sharp. Because his work as an engineer. He got a ta chiong at the side. That's why a lot of people observe, you act very fast. I say, yeah, my daughter observe. You help a lot of people and you have the understanding. You are like very organized. Yeah? And I can see you very calm, very quiet. You move around people. Yeah, when you come for retreat, you really come for retreat. You don't go and think of your work and handphone here and there. I don't see that. So everyone is different. When you are mindful, you're aware, you can understand. Then like relative. The day he say, then you know what he go through. That's why Papa Suri also know. In the house at one of the dinner, I think he said, brother Tim Tiam Tiam one, but got something inside there. He also know, because husband and wife share no one. So all these are what Dhamma cultivation is all about. When you have the cultivation, you progress, you become different. The understanding help you understand life and live life according to Dhamma way. So we haven't finished. Huh? So because of all this, acting according to memory is not acting at all. This one clear? Because you are acting according to all this rubbish. Your fear, your insecurity, your bias or whatever. Maybe here include fear. Then it can even include your selfishness, then emotional negativity, then envy, jealousy, hatred, etc. So now you understand. These are all evil root, understand? Not? Acting according to memory is acting according to your fear, your habitual tendency, your belief system, view, opinion, selfishness, emotional negativity, envy and jealousy, hatred. Is that the way to end? The content is all with the evil root. Understand now? Fear, worry, anxiety is delusion. Selfishness is positive craving, greed, the anger, hatred, jealousy. They are all evil. So this becomes very clear. So if you don't act according to memory, how should you act? Acting according to wisdom, following the Dhamma way. Yeah. So Dhamma way is Noble Eightfold Path. The Noble Eightfold Path is incapable of evil. So this is how you act, understand now. Then when you act according to Noble Eightfold Path, no evil, you sure resulting amicably, understand now. So that no karmic repercussion. So the other thing to understand is to resolve things amicably. Got green color. To resolve all issues amicably. So when you understand all this, this is the real living Dhamma, understand not? Not theory. You go and check, got textbook tissue or then. Because if you see awareness how it happened, then you understand all this. Nobody taught me. Understand? Okay? Yeah. Alicia, right?
Bradio, 还记得你教我们一起谈经的时候， yeah. 你讲过这个。 可是当时我敲破了头也不能明白，
yeah.
因为还没有那个awareness。对，所以现在你今天 explain 了，哇，原来是这样。所以他在六祖坛经里面有讲，他说，就是说这个八个兄弟一个台哦，其实。 那个五个在外面是做买卖的，就是那个对，然后一个就是在家就把账开，就是那个 perception，然后在家那边，然后第七就是他说很伶俐的，很聪明，就是他一直在discriminate 对，然后那个第八个是很呆的，因为他没有选择性，就是他只能伶俐。 receptacle 对，所以感恩他的丢哇，这个真的是非常好，我希望这个可以做一个 short video so that 这个我觉得这个非常重要，因为他有讲，因为他说这整个的巴士里面我们做 cultivation 要在第六个第七次去。
下手去关我们嘛，所以我现在讲，本来就讲到那个极端的话，那就是整个就是关这个咯。对，所以。Mindfulness of the content of consciousness, otherwise you 看不到。对，所以。And what is the content? Content of consciousness is sankhara, including feeling and perception, understand?
嗯。That
is the organ, your memory organ inside there, understand? Sankhara, all the movement inside there. Duality, yeah. Then your discrimination, all the thing I wrote there. Yeah. Not finished yet. The list still a lot.
是的，是的, virtue of full of joy.
哇，我终于明白这个。感恩他，阿弥陀佛。阿弥陀佛。嗯，萨德，萨德，萨德。Translate. Oh, okay. Okay. What she said is. It reminds her of the earlier years when she was studying the six patriarchs like Ponsuta under me. Yeah. At that time, I cannot understand. Cannot understand. Yeah. Because not clear. Then later on, clearer, but not so clear some more. Then he read in the Maya Sutta, Liu Zhu Han Jing, there is an analogy given by Hui Neng. He said the first five consciousness 你用什么来五个兄弟，你个兄弟啊，还出边做生意来的啊？You understand 啊？啊 ，So the first five anybody don't know Cantonese 啊？啊，毕竟的生的嘛，你好兄弟啊，你外口做生意啊？啊 ，Then the sixth consciousness is the one keep account 啊。 The seventh consciousness is the cunning one, is it? All calculate one, profit and loss one. That's why I do a lot of nonsense one. Then the eighth consciousness got no say one, is it? Understand?
It's just
eight brothers. Beautiful or not? This type of teaching can be understood in such simple manner. You know why this five? Yeah? So some AI should be more. Every moment of seeing consciousness, what you do? Huh? For me or not, you perceive. For me or not for me, not for me, you don't want to do one. Understand? Or? If it's not related to me, it's quite a little wrong. Understand? Or? Ah, got advantage. Or? Okay, got benefit. Or? Oh, okay. That's why a lot of people cannot scan. They say got free gift. Understand? Download this app for discount. You go and do lah. Then your OTP all gone without you knowing. Understand?
Not five brothers, eight brothers, five salesmen, then one accountant.
But that also can lah. But the last one is a sword.
And
the last one got no power to make any decision. So a lot of this type of Dhamma, when you understand, you can explain it as that's why Mahayana, you don't play a fool, you don't think they joke or not. Yeah, Sutta got a lot of this type of thing. That's why he said very amazing, very beautiful. He said we all should rejoice. Rejoice lah. So now I understand. Yeah, today I'm interesting.
Only the
unwholesome
don't
allow your
consciousness.
No, 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 for recording. No. No, the Araya consciousness got wholesome and unwholesome. But there is another one which is supramundane consciousness. It's not Araya, understand what? Because that one is not stored anywhere. One, understand what? No evil root one, understand what? Enlightened beings consciousness, understand what? They got no avijja, no delusion. How to commit Araya? Understand what? So hopefully with all this, yeah, the understanding can deepen, like Alicia said. Today one is like an awakening, make her understanding so much deeper. Because she has this awareness, she's able to connect. Understand? So Dhamma, when you really have the right cultivation, the wisdom will arise. And you become different. You become so beautiful. So these are worth spending time, huh? Worth it or not?
Yes.
Ah, Alicia put thumb up too. No? sadhu. Okay, continue.
2.2. The four foundations of mindfulness in brief. First foundation, Kaya Nupasana, starts with A. Anapanasati, mindfulness of in and out breath, to train the mind to be in sati to develop heedfulness. B. Once heedful, cultivate heedfulness of the four postures of standing, sitting, walking, and lying down. C. Then move on to cultivate sati sampajana, mindfulness with clear comprehension of all the connecting activities in between the four postures, i.e., daily mindfulness of all actions and movements in the present moment, to develop the initial insight into the three universal characteristics of nature. Four types of clear comprehensions are clear comprehension of sincerity of purpose, domains of meditation, reality of here and now, and lastly, non-delusion. D. Then cultivate mindfulness of the four elements which constitute this physical form to see its anatta nature. E. Then contemplate the 32 parts that constitute this physical body to understand its condition arising nature of all parts coming together to perform the functions of a human being and to realize its foulness. F. Finally, to contemplate 9 stages of cemetery decomposition of this physical body, physical form or body after it is devoid of consciousness.
So you understand, when the human form is devoid of consciousness, what happens? It not only ages, it starts to rot and go the way of nature. That's why I let you see the stages. After they die, the first thing that go away is the heat element, the wind element. Then the earth element is still there, temperature no more. That's why the dead body starts to like very cold. Then after that, what happened? The liquid come out. Then the earth collapse. The earth element collapse. Then after that, the weather, the birds, the whatever that likes to eat this type of thing, one, yeah, is in a cemetery. They will come and like tear apart. Then left with one, many bones. And the other one that stick to the bone will also dry up. Then the bone later on become what? Become what? Ashes. That's why the Christian know from ash to ash. You return to earth. You are from nature, you come. Back to nature, you go. So when you see this, those that are so attracted to the form, like the lust and all those things, You straight away with the awareness, you see. This one is like robot. When the conditions are there, when they are young, youthful, they make up, then my wife say lo pun. You know what lo pun? Spend money. Investment. You know, spend money. Go to saloon. Go to beauty center. Go to plastic surgery. Then create all the very nice form. But you never look inside the 32 part. I saw he said, you look inside, wow, like that one, like the doctor x-ray photograph. Understand? No? So this is visualization. Understand, no? You become mindful of the stages of decomposition. When it's devoid of consciousness, it no more what you think. So don't be foolish. At that moment, that short moment, you crave, you desire, you become so lustful over it. For what? You know, all this got karmic going on. So when you see all this, then you know how beautiful also no use. Understand? Like Ajahn Buddhadasa, you know what he say or not? After you understood the Dhamma all this, this universe walk by also, cannot attract you, cannot lure you. Is it? No craving, is it? But I can see, understand? Can appreciate, but no desire. Also, yes, everything is just the way it is. And all these beautiful ones, pardon me, not all, most of them, you know Einstein and the dancer. The story of Albert Einstein and the dancer, you don't know. After Albert Einstein became very famous, E equals MC squared, then he got the Nobel Prize. He went to the pub for a drink. Then the dancer recognized him. So everybody said, Einstein is here, Einstein. So the dancer go and dance in front of him, very sexy. Then you know what he told Einstein? How nice if we get married. Why? The children come out, got your intelligence. And my beauty. Einstein smiled. He said, what if it's the opposite? You're stupid. You understand? So most of the time, the pretty one is not so good one out there. So it depends on what you want. Life is understanding. When you understand, all this become very humorous and beautiful. Understand? Why I can share this and joke with you? Yeah, I see the mountain as mountain again. Understand? Otherwise, other people say, you cannot lah. You teach meditation, no, you simply talk. Understand? But whatever that can allow people to understand, because you too rigid, like everything also so serious. You think people attend? Then they walk away. No humor, nothing. Well, with a little bit of humor and understanding together, there is joy. Understand? Very good statement. That is a good one. So at least today, not wasted. Okay, continue.
Number two, second foundation, Vedana Nupassana, mindfulness of the feeling that arises upon contact of mind. Be aware of feeling. If feeling has been conditioned into pleasant and unpleasant feelings, then one has to be aware that it has become sensual desire and ill will, which are the first two of the five hindrances of mind. And it's also the first two evil roots of mind. With this awareness, we must arise the right effort to abandon the unwholesome thoughts that have arisen, followed by the right effort to prevent them from arising in the future.
Okay, good. So this one, at least now you understand why the Buddha want you to develop mindfulness of feeling. But they go and quote the theory. Feeling got three. Positive feeling, negative feeling, means pleasant feeling, unpleasant feeling, and neutral feeling. Is that the teaching? No, the teaching, you read the Satipatthana Sutta, second foundation. Mindfulness of feeling in feeling. When feeling has become pleasant and unpleasant or neutral feeling, aware, understand not? Aware means what? That's why you must have studied the essential Dhamma first. Your four foundation of mindfulness is for people who have overcome. After overcoming covetousness and greed, means you are at least a Sotapan or a Sakadagami already. Then only you can do this. So means the essential Dhamma they know already. That's why when they are mindful and aware, what is pleasant feeling? Sensual desire, correct or not? What is unpleasant feeling? Ill will. The first two mental hindrance of mind. When you allow this to stay, what happens? Like Sui said, it's like a cobra, you know, when you understand.
Poison your
Because it's a mental hindrance. You cannot meditate, understand? It hinders your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness. So how can you allow it? Understand? That's why this understanding is very important. And this one is not written in the text. Then we arise the right effort to abandon the unwholesome thought through the five way, especially the third and fourth way. Yeah? So the second right effort is, after you have the initial wisdom, to prevent them from arising in the future. It's like the Dhamma Nupassana, mindfulness of the five aggregate of form and mind. When you maintain mindfulness, when the mental hindrance arise, what happens? Like sensual desire. The sutta says, if you maintain mindfulness, you will come to know how the unarisen mental hindrance come to be. You understand? Where you are mindful. How the pleasant and unpleasant, they come from your habitual tendency, your memory, your conditioning, your belief system. That's why now you see, everything is thought-based, acting according to memory. That's how you get into trouble. So, second foundation is to let you understand that the evils are there. Especially the first two mental hindrances is related to what? Greed and hatred, isn't it? So this is the purpose. Then Banyan, read on. Still got.
B. So during meditation, if we are not mindful of the uncomfortable tactile feeling that arises via lack of wisdom, then we will react to it and label it as painful or unpleasant feeling, which is the reason why your mind cannot be peaceful anymore, because pain is a mental hindrance.
Now you understand. Okay, go on.
See, if we have this understanding, then we will be mindful of this feeling via our silent mind to investigate into it, to trace its original factors so as to understand how the unreasoned hindrance of mind comes to be. The mind will come to understand that if there is no wrong will or self-delusion, then the theory of mind leading to the arising of mental hindrance of sensual desire or ill will will not happen. Then, while strengthening one's views to accept things as they are, one will be able to retrospectively reverse it, thereby understanding how the disappearance of the arisen hindrance comes to be via wisdom. Then, as this wisdom finally stabilizes, one will also come to understand how the non-arising of these hindrances in the future comes to be. This is the way to develop wisdom or insight via Vedana Nupassana, and not via just noting pain, to do away with the pain via resisting suppression and control.
Now you understand. Last time they like this type of noting on verbalization on everything also verbalized. Pain, thinking, wandering thought. You create more thoughts. Then you create mental hindrance without knowing it, and you say this is vipassana. You understand? They say they do vipassana. Who do? They don't know. But the thought is actively doing all this type of thing. And they cannot understand the true Vedana Nupassana, the four foundations. Okay, we move on. Good.
To go deeper into the investigation, we can also inquire as follows. Before this unpleasant feeling arises, there was none. Hence, the awareness of this feeling transforming into mental hindrances can bring about an understanding of how the unarisen hindrance comes to be. How come I have this reaction of mine to those mental perceptions that I come to perceive via my seeing or hearing or thinking, thereby conditioning the feeling or sensation into mental hindrance of sensual desire or ill will? It is because of one's conditioning to reject unpleasant feeling, which is a negative craving, hence a wrong will born of habitual tendency. If you can be at peace with what you perceive via acceptance of what is, then there is no more wrong will. Then with this right view or right understanding, one can just let things be and then silence one's mind to relax into it. When you do not react or grasp and cling onto the sensation with aversion or wrong view, then what happens? The hindrance is no more there. So the mind that accepts the reality of that sensation without reacting to it can be at peace with it. Hence, the mind can relax into it and the sensation will become normal and peaceful again. The lack of peace comes from your reaction of mind to try to do away with that unpleasant sensation that you had labeled via your wrong view.
Now you understand, huh? This is what Brother Tim Kim do know also. The understanding will surface, understand? Huh? You will have to relax and be at peace with it. Don't go and label it. Don't develop aversion and unhappiness to push it away. You do that, it becomes suppression, control. Who suppress, who control? The thought suppress, the thought control. So now you understand, huh? Okay, go on.
Meditation is to develop the wisdom to understand and then act with right view following the noble eightfold path,
right,
which is incapable of negativity to resolve all issues amicably instead of reacting to them via delusion and wrong view, thereby creating more negativities in the process. So, the main purpose and intent of meditation is to realize the wisdom, to be at peace with any situation within the moment and not to label it as pain, etc. With no more aversion, then only can we accept the reality of the moment and to understand that it is because we do not know how to relax into it, causing the qi flow to be constricted, thereby causing that unpleasant sensation. This is what you should do. You don't have to resist, suppress, and control it. Third foundation, citta nupassana. A. Like feeling here, we go deep into the content of consciousness to be aware of its evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, and various states of consciousness, etc. When the content of consciousness has greed, one must be aware to deal with it as above so as to develop the wisdom to free the mind.
So when you know that there are evil roots, you apply the third and fourth way as taught by the Buddha, yeah, to retrospectively remove that wrong view. Then you become normal again. That's how you develop wisdom. Okay, fourth foundation,
Dhamma Nupassana. Its first category of cultivation is A. Mindfulness of the five hindrances of mind, followed by B. Mindfulness of five aggregates of form and mind. Then, C, mindfulness of the six internal sense spaces and the six external sense spaces. The 18 sense rhymes to trace its original factors and then retrospectively reverse their via wisdom. Then, D, mindfulness of the seven factors of enlightenment, followed by the final cultivation of E, mindfulness of the four noble truths to realize the enlightenment in the here and the now. Once enlightened, there is no more delusion, so one will never be deluded by the five aggregates of form and mind anymore. One doesn't have to suffer anymore. One will know how to use the karmically conditioned form and mind to truly live the noble life wonderfully and meaningfully, following the noble eightfold path, thereby becoming a blessing to all. This is the reason why the Heart Sutra said, true emptiness is wonderful existence. Part 3 Meditation 3.1. Understanding what mindfulness or sati is very important. Sati is before the knowing, just an awareness within the moment without thought, i.e. phenomenon and mind as one without thought. Like anapanasati or mindfulness of the in and out breath. Just feel the breathing and then mind and breath move as one, in complete synchrony without thought, following the Buddha's instruction. Breathing in, one is aware, and breathing out, one is aware, etc. A calm and peaceful mind is only a byproduct of a well-trained mind. But the main purpose and intent of the Buddha's meditation is not about becoming peaceful and calm only, but to develop the wisdom to be at peace with all situations. Otherwise, one will be trapped with a mind that is attached to the calm and peaceful meditation as the good meditation. And when your meditation is not peaceful and calm, then you are afflicted and you label it as bad meditation. Hence, the sensual desire and ill will, which are hindrances of mind, are still there. Like the saying goes, any sense experience, whether it is pleasant or unpleasant, is a prelude to suffering or dukkha. Even very fantastic and so-called good meditative experiences, including the experiencing of jhana, seeing of nimitta, etc., are just conditioned arising states within meditation, and unless one can develop the wisdom out of them to free the mind, then they are not much use.
Not much use.
Yeah. 3.2. I follow your instructions. Just be aware and no more noting. Is this correct? Question 1. Brother dear, during the meditation, when I hear the birds very loud and excited chirping, I follow your instruction. Just be aware and no more noting. Is it correct? Brother Dio answered, it is very dangerous to do that because when you quote me and follow what I say via your own interpretation of it without proper investigation to develop your own understanding, then you become gullible. The reason being, when you are fully aware and without thought, the listening is very different because it is with the silent mind in full creative awareness and attentiveness. Only then can you truly awaken while clearly witnessing the condition arising nature of the hearing consciousness within your meditation. This is not as a concept or theory, but truly realizing it during the meditation. So that is why I always say, don't quote me, but just cultivate to investigate and find out for yourself whether what I have said to you is true or not. Don't just believe me and be gullible, okay? Nevertheless, it is a good question because if you don't ask, I cannot point out your mistake and explain further. When you meditate, you just relax your body and mind and maintain the silent inner awareness to be watchful of what is going on within one's form and mind. How one reacts to sense experiences and get conditioned into the various mind states to become addicted via one's heedlessness and wrong view, and how one functions as a living being, and how we become what we are, how our mind, thoughts, feelings, and emotions arise and pass away, following the 12 links or law of dependent origination. Awareness or sati is the silent mind before the knowing, and it's just awareness without thought, i.e. mind and phenomena as one in perfect harmony and synchrony to move and flow with life. But due to ignorance and delusion, the mind cannot become heedful or mindful because it thinks a lot and becomes very heedless via its habitual tendencies. Through ignorance, the mind keeps on reacting to sense experiences to arise the likes and dislikes, fear, worry and anxieties and restlessness, doubt, etc. throughout the day. These are the 5 hindrances of mind that hinder your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace and calmness. Such continuous heedless thinking with the 5 mental hindrances will become so habitual, and this is the reason why most living beings think a lot and they find it so difficult to meditate. The moment they close their eyes, there are so many thoughts. So the first thing to do in meditation is to develop the opposite 5 spiritual faculties of sadhana, viriya, sati, samadhi, and panya via your daily devotional puja to counter the hindrances, thereby reversing all the heedless thinking so as to become more peaceful and calm. Another skillful means is to do the mind sweeping method to just feel and relax the body and mind without thinking, so as to decondition your habitual heedless thinking. It will also train your mind to be at the location you want it to be. This is followed by anapanasati, or mindfulness of the in and out breath, so as to develop apamada, or heedfulness of mind. When the mind is trained and heedful, it listens to you. You want it to be silent, calm and peaceful, it will just do that. If you want it to be aware or at the moment of feeling, perception, activities of mind and consciousness, you will just do that. Such a mind can meditate and understand what is going on. You want it to think, then only it thinks. Otherwise, it is silent, relaxed and just aware within. The mind becomes like your obedient and faithful servant, and it is always your command. always at your command to do what you instruct it to do, especially to live and experience all of the beauty and wonders of life, and live life to the fullest and meaningfully. If the user of thoughts is wise, then thoughts become beautiful, right, and wholesome thoughts. Otherwise, if the user of thoughts is evil and heedless, then thoughts become evil, i.e. wrong thoughts that constantly condition one's evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, leading to all the suffering and misery. This is the reason why the Noble Eightfold Path is about right thoughts only. The cultivation of the five spiritual faculties is very important because it can help you overcome the five hindrances of mind: sensual desire, ill will, sloth and torpor, restlessness and doubt, thereby enabling you to understand easily the Buddha Dharma and meditation as taught by the Buddha. Radiating love and metta while reciting, may this body and mind of mine be well and happy always, also helps complement the cultivation, because it will bring about a calm and composed mind, be a lot of inner well-peace and happiness.
Well-being
and happiness. And this positive mind states of good vibration will help improve and strengthen your immune system. When the mind has a lot of well-being, joy
and mind. When the mind
has a lot of well-being, joy and metta, it can become calm and composed because it is without the heedless thinking and hindrance of mind. Hence, it can be helpful to develop the meditation, especially after a stressful day. If one can meditate to bring about inner peace, inner well-being, and inner clarity of mind to develop the wisdom, then one can be in a state of constant, relaxed inner awareness, be a lot of inner peace and joy always. 3.3.
No, continue. Huh? I had to go to the washroom.
3.3. Meditation involves two important steps. The first step is to train the mind to be heedful or ever mindful via deconditioning one's habitual heedless thinking. Then the second step is to use the trained and heedful mind to meditate while cultivating the Noble Eightfold Path, especially the Four Foundations of Mindfulness. It is also very important to understand what sati is. Also to understand that vipassana is not a knowledge that you can practice or learn via thought-based meditation, because it is an insight or wisdom that has to be awakened to via the direct seeing without thought. And wisdom is not rigid knowledge that can be learned or practiced, because it is an understanding which is not rigid. This is the reason why the Buddha always says, "He only shows us the way, but we must walk the path ourselves to awaken to it." V stands for the three universal characteristics of nature: anicca, dukkha, and anatta. And pasana is to insight into. So the meaning of vipassana is to insight into the three universal characteristics of nature, first awakening to this truth. Note, there are no short notes for the Heart Sutra classes 27 and 28, because Brother Theo's sharing was just based on a review of the Heart Sutra class 26 short notes. So we do Heart Sutra class and meditation class. Part 2, Heart Sutra lesson 32, the emptiness of the 18 fields or 18 sense rhymes, page 78. 2.1, the 18 sense rhymes consists of the three sets of sixes. First set of six refers to the six internal sense bases or organs, five physical and one mental. Second set of six refers to the six external sense bases or sense data, and the third set of six refers to their six respective sense door consciousness.
Understanding these 18 fields or 18 sense rhymes can lead to the understanding of how you know the world and how you interact with the world, plus how you function as a human being, leading to the understanding of who are you and what are you. It is important for us to understand what Sankara is. Sankara is the content of consciousness or everything that your mind can do, including the aggregates of feeling and perception. It includes all of your mental movements and activities like mental states, intention, planning and scheming, formations, condition views and opinions, etc. The consciousness aggregate is the pure receptacle. Consciousness and its content becomes the thought, which is the mental five aggregates of form and mind that the Buddha referred to under his final summary of the first noble truth of Dukkha, in which the Buddha said, "In short, it is due to one's self-delusion, sakkayaditti, that conditions one's craving and clinging to grasp onto these five aggregates of form and mind that he called Dukkha. This is due to self-delusion, leaving beings then to attach, cling to their physical form, mental feeling, external forms that they come to perceive with every movement of consciousness, their mental thinking and mental consciousness, taking them to be real and calling them the I and the me and the mind, leading to all the suffering. Take for example, when one perceives their loved ones, good friends, colleagues, or pets, or various prized possessions, like their property, money, and wealth, etc., and grasps onto them, then what happens? The fear of separation or losing them can arise if we don't have the wisdom and deludedly perceive them as really belonging to us. Once you attach or grasp to them, you can be afflicted and you will become very fragile and vulnerable. It is due to delusion that conditions you to grasp and cling onto them because you fail to see their impermanence, suffering and anatta or non-self nature. All sense experiences and phenomena, no matter how alluring, are a prelude to suffering because they are of the nature to arise and pass away or cease. So they will separate from you. Without wisdom developed via hipunas, one will not be able to accept this reality. One must train one's mind to be hipu or ever mindful to cultivate the noble eightfold path and the four foundations of mindfulness, leading to the enlightenment via realization of the four noble truths. 2.2. The fourth foundation of mindfulness, third category of cultivation. Mindfulness of the six internal sense bases and six external sense bases is related to the 18 sense rhymes and the 12 links for dependent origination and the fire sermon cultivation. In the fire sermon, the Buddha taught, how can one achieve liberation from suffering through detachment from the five senses and mind consciousness? In this discourse, the Buddha described the sense bases and resultant mental consciousness or phenomena as burning, with passion, aversion, delusion, and suffering. Seeing such, a noble disciple becomes very disenchanted with dispassion and thus liberated from the sense bases, thereby achieving arahantship. This is described in more details below. Thus have I heard, on one occasion, the Blessed One was living at Gaya. At Gaya Sisa, accompanied by 1,000 bhikkhus, the Buddha proclaimed, "Bhikkhus, all things are burning. Sabba bhikkhave adittam." Adittam.
Sabbam bhikkhave adittam. What bhikkhu are all these burning?
The eyes, bhikkhus, is burning. Visual forms are burning. Visual forms, sense data received by the eyes are burning. Eye or seeing consciousness is burning. Eye contact is burning. And also whatsoever feeling felt as pleasant or unpleasant, painful or neither pleasant nor unpleasant, painful that arises with eye contact, that too is burning. But what are they burning? Burning with the fire of lust, passion, loba, with the fire of hate, dosa, and with the fire of delusion, moha. I say it is burning with birth, aging and death, with sorrow, with lamentation, with pain, with grief, with despair.
Okay, I have to explain a bit. You see, this is the fire sermon. The fire sermon is very powerful. It seems it's recorded in the sutta. During that time, millions become enlightened. You know how the Buddha teaches, but these people, they love the monks who follow that sect. They like to worship the fire, and that's all. That's why he used the fire as an analogy, fire summon. So what is happening is the Buddha knew where he teaches them that way, they will awaken because they are so closely related to fire. And fire has this capacity to burn and really burn on. So when he started by saying the Paticca-samuppada, the dwelling, which just now Sui trying to explain, is like a cobra when the evil roots are there, when the content of consciousness has all this starting. So every moment of the Paticca-samuppada, sense contact leading to sense experience, all the movement. Yeah. So like seeing consciousness, you say, the eye, bhikkhu, is burning. Why is it that organ is burning? Because if you don't know how to use it, you perceive and create duality, you create evil root, you create suffering. That's why the eye is burning. Then the external sense data, visual form, is burning. With every stage of the six internal sense bases and six external sense bases, you see them. The sense basis is burning. Sense data is burning. Then the next one is what? The sense data received by the eye are burning. That eye consciousness, after that you become conscious, that is also burning. That eye contact is burning. Also, whatsoever feeling felt as pleasant and unpleasant or painful, or neither pleasant nor unpleasant, that too is burning. That arises with eye contact, that too is burning. Then he said, with what is it burning? The evil root, see? Burning with the fire of lust, means craving, greed, selfishness, passion. Passion means, or lust or passion is the same, huh? It's greed. Then with the fire of hatred, dosa, you want to push away. And with the fire of delusion, moha, I say it is burning with birth, aging, death, with sorrow, lamentation, means it can bring about the whole mess of suffering. So this is to tell you the danger of holding on to these evil roots, because it will bring forth dukkha, affliction, suffering. So when you understand this, you are mindful, every stage is burning. That's why it leads to dispassion, understand? It's like towards the end, I remember, before cessation happened. You will come to an understanding, everything is not what you think, unreal. We are dependent originating, not what you think. If it's dependent originating and not what you think, then why do you hold on to it? Why do you keep on thinking about it, grasping onto it, give meaning, reacting, becoming afflicted? So once you reach the understanding, then you realize what the Buddha gave as analogy, sankhara, like the banana tree stem. Layer after layer you peel, means all your thinking, sankhara, mental state, everything, your reaction mind, or whatever you store in your memory, your views appear. Towards the center, at the center, there is nothing. At the core of it is empty. It's just like the saying in Mahayana, lai ye kong, qi ye kong, means you come empty. You die, you go also empty. Then why do you grieve over emptiness in between? Understand? Then you start to understand that the wisdom actually leads to Nibbana. Then you say, think also like that, don't think also like that. But everything is dependent originating. So you don't create, there is nothing. So why you go and think to analyze, to try to reason, to try to be right and all those things? That's why at that moment I remember my mindfulness was very stable, my awareness, my wisdom, the understanding. Then I just let things be. Think also like that, don't think like that. I stop the sankhara thinking. Not like, obviously you're going to stop it now. Because of the understanding, the wisdom, the sankhara all stop. And not long. Suddenly the mind cease. That's how you can realize Nibbana, the unconditioned. But don't think it's so easy. It's not knowledge. You have to go to the awareness, the sati, the mindfulness, the heedful mind. You must meditate, ever mindful to awaken, to develop insight, then contemplate, reflect, stabilize the understanding until finally it becomes so clear. Every statement that the Buddha recites, every stanza becomes so clear, so beautiful. Sabbe sankhara anicchang. All sankhara is like that. Impermanent. Come and go, dependent originating, condition arising, causal phenomenon. If you attach and cling, sabbe sankhara dukkhang, suffering arises. Where you keep clinging, you want, there is craving. Where you cannot get what you want, you suffer. That's sabbe dhamma anatta. Both the condition and the unconditioned is also non-self. Where it's not a being, not a permanent unchanging entity. It cannot come out to live life. It's just an awareness nature inside. That is straight away understand. That's why because of all this understanding, you see the unreality of form. You see the unreality of mind. Then you see the whole of creation. Consciousness created the world and the continent. Then the conditioned world is a phenomenal world of consciousness. All this you understand. Then they have no power, you collapse in front of you. Then you end up with that wisdom. Think also like that, don't think also like that. Then the mind cannot think. The mind just rests at peace. Then the condition arises because of your wisdom. Then that mundane mind ceases. Because once it realizes itself, it ceases. That's how Nibbana can be realized. Okay?
I was contemplating the fire sermon. I was contemplating the fire sermon, and then I do get the analogy that fire will destroy you if you get too close. It is dangerous, and so we have to beware. It's like a cobra. But I think in our day and age, fire hazards are not seen as such big a danger, so the urgency is not there. What came to mind was, you know how we have a lot of internet scam. You get a phone call, you're even scared to even answer nowadays. So everything we see is like the scammer telling you, you won a lottery ticket. Come lah. So that, like we see a table, we think it'll be there forever. That actually is a scam. And we see our parents, we think they'll live forever. That is a scam. We see things that we own, property that I have, like my car, my house, and then anything, my clothes, all these, the sense of belonging, just the paragraph, the page before, we say everything we own is not real, is not really belonging to us. It is fake because they are here only because of conditions, because of karmic affinity, everything. People, our relationships and our prized possessions are only here because of karmic affinity. Anytime they never belong to us, and they will, it's a scam for us to think that they belong to us, and it will drag us into a trap and make us suffer. So a scam everywhere. Our memory thinks we see.
Sadhu. Very good. Because they are not so real, not what you think, understand? Your loved one and all those things. Yeah, everything is just form and mind, phenomenon, dependent originating. Condition arising, cause of phenomenon. That's why each year you wake up, everything is conditioned. Okay, Manyang, continue. All these are repeated, so no need to read the whole thing. You just go to the next organ is the ear, the bhikkhu. I read better, easier. The ear, bhikkhu, is burning. Sound, sense data, all these are repeated. Then burning with what? Greed, hatred, and delusion. Then continue for the other senses. Then the Buddha repeat the same for all the other sense of consciousness as below. The nose, the tongue, the body, the mind, they are all burning. So under the mind is burning, thought is burning, mental objects within the mind is burning. Mind and thought consciousness is burning. Mind contact is burning. Also, whatever is felt as pleasant, unpleasant, neither pleasant nor unpleasant, that arise with mind contact, that too is burning. So again, repeat, huh? What are they burning with? With what are they burning? Burning with the fire of greed, hatred, and delusion. Then, because of that, the whole mess of suffering. Then, bhikkhu, listen to this, huh? When a noble disciple who has heard this truth, heard only, you know, huh? And clearly seen things thus, means you can understand what the meaning the Buddha meant by burning. Yeah, like Sui said, everything is a scam. Whatever you see, you hear, the sense data come in. You're not careful, the paticca-samuppada pop, you end up in suffering. So, bhikkhu, when a noble disciple, Aryan disciple means enlightened disciple, who has heard this truth and clearly seeing things thus, what happened? Like I said, you're not interested already. Understand? Think also like that, don't think also like that. Then it cannot lure you, understand? But you know how to live like. He becomes wary of the eye, wary of visual form, wary of eye. Or seeing consciousness, wary of eye contact, wary of whatsoever is felt as pleasant, unpleasant, and neither pleasant that arises with eye contact. Then he repeats for the other senses. He become wary of even mind, wary of thought, etc., etc. So in this way, he become free of passion, greed, and he become aware of feeling. With insight, knowledge, and wisdom, he knows there is no more rebirth, means Arahant already, that the holy light is his, and he has done all that should be done. These were the Buddha's, the blessed one's word, when he spoke to the bhikkhu thus, the whole congregation of 1,000 over bhikkhu rejoiced and approved of his word. And attain liberation from the asava. Asava means strong defilement. Yeah? True clinging no more. And their heart was completely free. So this is how you can develop the understanding. And the mind become very different. That's why that disenchantment of everything will happen. Then it has no more power over you. So this is how the fire sermon can be so powerful. Note from another commentary. There's another commentary that use different words. Bhikkhu, form is burning, feeling is burning, perception is burning, volition formation are burning, and consciousness is burning. Seeing thus, the instructed noble disciple experience vary towards form, feeling, perception, volitional formation and consciousness through dispassion, see, dispassion or disenchantment, and this mind is liberated. So the ensuing text reveal that all means sabbe, refer to the six internal sense spaces, or they call ayatana. So there is name, the eye, the ear, the nose, the tongue, the body and mind. Then the six external senses are the sense data, visual form, sound, smell, taste, touch, and mental object. Consciousness vijnana, condition on this sense basis, depend on this condition, consciousness arise. By burning, aditta is meant the fire of passion, the fire of aversion, means greed, hatred, and delusion, eh? The fire of delusion. So in Pali is raga jina, dosa jina, moha jina, the manifestation of suffering, birth, aging, death, sorrow, lamentation, pain, despair, and distress. Disenchanted, he become dispassionate. This one is good. Through dispassion, he is fully released. With full release, there is the understanding fully released. He discerned that birth is ended, the holy life fulfilled, the task done. There is nothing further or the world. So this one is very beautiful. Eh? Okay, Manyan, you continue.
Part 3, Meditation, 3.1. Meditation consists of two parts. Meditation consists of two parts. First part is to train the mind to be heedful. Then the second part is to make use of this trained mind in heedfulness to live life and cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path with special emphasis on the four foundation of mindfulness. This mind that is trained listens to you, and if you want it to be silent within, it will just be silent within. If you want it to be aware of things, then it will do just that. Even if you want it to be at the moment of feeling, perception, activity of mind or consciousness, then it will just do that. That is, it listens to you. Heedfulness can only arise when the mind is trained. To be heedful, one must know how to silence one's mind to connect to one's true mind. The untrained mind is very heedless, and it thinks a lot because of ignorance and delusion. Without this heedfulness developed, one is as if dead spiritually. As per Dhammapada, verse 2.21. Since heedfulness is the path to the deathless, and the heedful do not die, so please do strive on with heedfulness. Let the third hearts note, okay. There are no short notes for Heart Sutra classes 30 and 31, because prior to your sharing was just based on a review of the Heart Sutra class 29 short notes. The third Heart Sutra class and meditation class. Part 1, recapitulation and emphasis on the previous lesson, 1.1. Dhammapada, verse 21. Heedfulness is the path to the deathless. Heedlessness is the path to the death. The heedful do not die. The heedless are as if dead, spiritually. One only needs to be heedful, then one is destined for enlightenment. Therefore, one must make strong determination to be heedful. To know who you are and what you are is very important. Is this human being or the five aggregates of form and mind really what you are? How do you know the world? And how do you interact with the world? It is the senses that enable us to interact with the world via mind or mental consciousness. This is a very important understanding. Psychiatry, self-delusion, is a very powerful delusion because during every moment of sense door consciousness, like seeing, hearing, and thinking, etc., the personality and egoic mind will arise if there is psychiatry. Then one will try to own and possess things. This is how selfishness, which is an evil root, arises. Similarly, because of the ego, one can also become jealous, angry, emotional, and fearful. And these are the other two evil roots of hatred and delusion. As they are the roots of all evil, this is the reason why when things do not go your way and when you cannot get what you desire or want, you can become very unhappy and you can also get angry and become emotional too. When confronted with the first noble truths, realities, especially health problems and separation problems, the thought will project into the past and the future to condition your fear, worry, anxiety, and sadness, unhappiness, etc., leading to one's suffering. See that it is just a thought, not a reality at all. So how come it has such power to torment you and cause you so much suffering? This is wrong view conditioned by a delusion to grasp and cling onto the so-called problem, hence causing your fear, worry, and anxiety, etc. Do see its impermanent characteristics and anatta nature, i.e. it is just a thought which comes and goes and it has no power over you if you are not deluded by it. Part 2, Heart Sutra Lesson 33, The Emptiness of the 18 Fields, page 80 to 83. 2.1, The Dhamma are only words, concepts and skillful means. Ultimate Nirvana. When you have wisdom, you do not cling to the Dhamma. The Dhamma are only words, concept, and skillful means pointing towards the truth, as likened to the finger pointing to the moon. The commentary said, the mind of the past cannot be obtained. The mind of the future cannot be obtained, and the mind of the present moment also cannot be obtained. This English translation by the commentary is not so clear as compared to the Mandarin version. In Mandarin, it is
过去是不可得,
meaning the mind of the past is already gone, so it is no more a reality, i.e. you cannot hold on to it or have it anymore. Similarly, the future has yet to come, so it is also not a reality. The moment is the only reality in life. And moment to moment, life passes by. What are you doing? Are you mindful of the moment truly living life? Or are you too busy thinking, planning, and worrying about life? So heedless, so much so you are totally missed out on life. To vivid the moment, to experience all of the wonders and beauty of life, without any fear, worry, and anxiety, is truly living life. The present moment may be the highest in life, but in order to transcend life, one must also transcend even the moment. This is because the moment passes by so fast, and it is also not a reality in that sense. That is split second, it is dead and gone. This moment, then, the next moment, and the next moment, only a stream of unending moments of thoughts, rising and falling. See this clearly and free your mind. Only consciousness and thoughts arising and passing away, implying it is nothing substantial and not so real. This is the reason why the Buddha said, mind is the forerunner of all things. Mind is chief. And when mind arises, everything comes to be, and mind make are they. So if one acts, speaks, and thinks with a heedless or unwholesome mind, that has the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, suffering will follow one like the view that follows the hoof. Hence, the reason why the Surangama Sutra states that perception of form is consciousness, whereas its non-perception is wisdom. The first seeing refers to mundane seeing via the condition arising mundane mind, whereas the second seeing refers to the direct seeing via the true mind, which is beyond thought and beyond mind, the mundane mind. When cultivating the Buddha Dharma, one must be diligent to do it continuously with full determination in order to be successful, and one must not be complacent. A good analogy is of the primitive man making a fire by rubbing a stick against the rock to spark off the fire. One must not stop halfway before the spark can trigger off the fire. Hence, heedfulness must be stabilized and sustained until one is ever mindful. Part 3, Meditation. 3.1. Why do I experience heat during meditation? Question 1. Why do I experience heat which comes and goes during meditation? Brother Dio answered, whether heat arises or not is not so important, because the main purpose and intent of meditation is to train the mind in heedfulness first. That is, to be in a stable state of relaxed inner awareness or mindfulness first. Then only can one meditate. Heat can be due to the environment that you are in or due to your yin and yang imbalance within your body. The key thing is just to be in a state of relaxed inner awareness, to be aware of everything that is arising and passing away during meditation. Just maintain a silent passive awareness. Don't try to know. The understanding will come by itself via an awakening and not via thinking. 3.2. Heedful and mindful during meditation, but heedless in the midst of life. Question 2. I can be very heedful and mindful when I'm here doing meditation in a very conducive environment. But when I am in the midst of life, I can be very heedless. When I am in a very negative environment situation, I can become deluded very fast. Then I start to blame myself and get angry with myself. Why? Brother Dio answered, this is normal. When you are in this present, tranquil, meditative environment, you will be naturally more peaceful and heedful. Everything appears very smooth sailing because it is a conditioned environment or state of mind with no negativity to stir and test you. But when you are in the midst of life, you are usually less heedful. So when you are with someone that you don't like or a weird and difficult person, then you are tested. During these moments, if you have yet to develop the wisdom needed to calm yourself down, then it is very likely that you will become unhappy via your heedless reaction to what they say and what they do. You will have to learn to confront. You will have to learn to confront or face all these negativities and difficult life situations with wisdom to free your mind. That's why you must investigate into all this, that is, how your reactions to sense experience conditioned by your delusion develop into very strong habitual tendencies without you even becoming aware of them. Habitual tendencies born of delusion are difficult to change or correct overnight. Silence your mind to investigate into their original factors so that you
Origination factors.
So that you can later retrospectively reverse it via wisdom after you have contemplated deep into it. That is, how this anger or fear arises in your mind. And then inquire, are they real? Is angry or fear really what you are? Apart from these mental states that come and go, is there a nature within that is unmoving or unchanging? All these are part of meditation. Your problem lies in your inability to recognize the fact that you are not what you are thinking or mundane mind tells you via your Sakkaya Ditti. Your true nature within is already perfect and without any negativity or discrimination and convention. So don't blame yourself for being useless because you cling onto your form and mind, the so-called human being as the you, the I and me, hence the delusion. Blaming and getting angry with yourself is of no use because it is a wrong view. The anger or fear that you arises is not you, but only a conditioned state of mind that arises after you have reacted to what you see and what you hear, and think via your own psychiatry or self-delusion, which is a wrong view. If you do not perceive whatever life situation that arises with negativity or wrong view, then you will not react and there will be no suffering. You will come to understand why your happiness, that when things don't go your way, then you will react because you want things your way, which is against nature's law that governs all of life and existence. Hence, suffering will arise because you have your expectations that are not met, and you are not able to understand that people are just the way they are. And this is a fact. This is part of the first noble truths, seven condition or realities of life and existence. When you have right view, anger, selfishness, and fear cease to be. As we all know, a deluded person will say and do deluded things. Likewise, an angry and violent person will do and say angry and violent things. You have to develop the wisdom via your meditation to just accept them for what they are, and then you will be peaceful. You will only need to change and straighten your view to free your mind. This realization is wisdom. Hence the saying, wisdom frees, whereas delusion binds.
Okay, we stop here. The time is up. So you can now go down for dinner. 5:18. Instead of 5:15. Okay, thank you, Maya Sadhu. So let us rejoice.
Sadhu, Sadhu, Sadhu.
Okay, you can do respect mindfully to Chukujan.